Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
I'm not worried.
No, I can clearly see that you're not worried. Maybe you should take up a sense of urgency, coach.
Because people like to say salsa.
And it's not about salsa or chips or guacamole.
I love chips.
Well, I don't get they bring the income.
There's a guy that's put all of his chips in the middle and lost. We are back, though. We are with Marsh Hallberg. We are, by the way, Radioactive Sports. I am the superstar Mike Morse because that's what I call myself.
Well, isn't that special?
It's very special. Now, shut up. And Ben Holson.
Hey.
And we are good at what we do, we think. We have Marsh
Hallberg. Can we vote on that before? No, never mind.
Jeez.
Sorry.
That's a horrible thing
to
say.
We invite you on our show and we're all going to
insult you.
Yeah.
In our own little comfort zone, our own, you know, you're in our personal space, and you come in here and you're throwing jabs.
Ben, I like you. It's the superstar that I just can't stand.
Well, then I'll have you know, sir, that this is the lion's den. It's the lair, and you won't walk in.
I hear it all the time.
You walk in, but you don't walk out. It's like a cockroach hotel.
Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com, brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds. So we were talking about Greg Hardy and all the stupid
shenanigans.
Stuff. And I agree that the guy deserves what he gets. I just don't like the whole double jeopardy thing with the NFL coming back now and saying he was on the commissioner's exempt list all last year and now 10 games. I disagreed with it when Adrian Peterson was on the commissioner's exempt list and then saying, okay, now we're going to suspend you for 6 games. And then I want to say, superstar, you said, well, but he was being paid.
Yeah.
Well, then take the money away from him. I mean, he sat out the majority of the season last year.
He doesn't have it.
It's ridiculous. But,
They're but gonna, on that, what? But
no way.
Here's my problem with this whole thing, again, is why, when you've got the AP thing, why not be consistent with AP at least, right? I mean, the two events happened within literally 4 or 5 days of each other. AP, I mean, why give them 25 games? What? Why? Where's the logic in trying to be consistent?
Well, they don't see it as, the NFL doesn't see it as giving them 25 games because they don't see it as the commissioner's exempt list is not a penalty.
Right.
Because you're still getting
paid. Well, he missed 25 games, but
to
not
me,
checks.
It's a penalty.
Yeah.
Well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, well then if he's still playing in the league this year and you want to dock him 10 game checks, okay, well then boom, this year we're taking away out of your $13 million salary, we're going to take 8 of it.
Yeah.
But come on.
You're not going to get that money
Roger
back.
Goodell.
It's going to go back now. It's going to get an arbitrator appointed. You're going to go through the Henderson rigmarole again. They're going to knock it down to less. They can go to federal court again. They'll tie this case. Maybe they'll join the two. They might join the two cases together on the appellate level. I don't know.
Just the NFL. I just wish the NFL would get their poop in a group and stop screwing with the game and the players. And I mean,
it has to become more.
Certain players do bad things consistent. And they need to be punished. I get it, but there's no double jeopardy. Come on.
You can't make stuff up on the fly.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Get it consistent and get it so that we can actually apply some of these laws and bylaws to some of these all these players.
What about focusing on the game of football and what teams are doing? The NFL draft coming up next week. And yet again, we have to talk about what another stupid move Roger Goodell has made.
I hate Goodell.
Yes, really do. Me too.
I hate the man.
I do. Okay.
I think the next man in line might be just the guy for the job.
Matt Burke, everybody.
Matt Burke.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Smart dude, man.
Yeah, he's not too dumb.
Let's talk about concussions.
He's not too dumb.
I used to sit at my kids at my table in my dining room and do all my kids' homework for him.
That's the only time.
All the algebra and everything. You're Matt. I'm not done with my algebra. You just put it right through to Matt, and they'd be out the door to school.
Yeah. Straight A's.
Yeah. I said, Steven, you got to quit asking Mr. Burke to do your homework. It's not right.
Could he, like, balance my checkbook, you think, if I brought it to him? Or do you think that's inappropriate? I knocked on his door and just asked?
He's an economics major.
Oh.
He's so good.
What happened with this, the deal, the settlement in the NFL? I'm dealing with concussion-like symptoms.
You've got many of them, but some of them aren't covered. Memory loss is
honest to God truth. I've had 7 concussions.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and I'm struggling with migraine problems as of lately, I think that they're connected.
Ooh.
Well,
and it's not good.
Part of what bothers me, you know, I tell you, first year the settlement's got an unlimited cap. They're thinking maybe $1 billion. My first, you know, blush to this whole thing was, well, okay, that sounds good and sounds really fair.
It's a lot of money.
$1 billion is a lot of money. But then
you dice it up.
Then I started to dice it up and I started to think, and the lowly attorneys only get like $120 million. So those poor guys.
Too bad.
Yeah, this is lawyers. But, okay, you're talking $1 billion. League's slated to make $12 billion a year. And in 2027, they're slated to make $25 billion a year. So you look at the level of the money of what they've got and who's hauling the water here. It's the players, right?
Of course. And then you try to go to the doctor. I mean, just as a regular person, just like you and I, going to the doctor and all of those players going to the doctor, that's going to add up to $1 billion is going to be gone like that.
It'll be gone very quickly if they start to divide this up into whatever, severance or pension or both.
It's an average for the guy that actually gets money. The average, they figure, is $190,000, which is a lot of money in a sense, but it doesn't go long. If you can't work any longer in your life, how long is that going to last when you had this level of income? The thing that really bothers me the most, and God bless Dave Durson's family, because they've, I don't know if you saw on the last day, they're going to object to the settlement.
I know.
And I go, well, okay, what's this all about?
Remind us who Dave Durson is.
Okay, Dave Durson played safety for the Chicago, the Cardinals, and for the Saints, I think.
He did.
Four years Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Great player.
Played against him many times.
Great player.
And remind us of his story.
He got shot in the chest. He shot himself in the chest and died. Kind of like, same kind of situation. This thing called CTE, which is a traumatic injury. You can only determine if you have CTE after you're dead, because then they have to do an autopsy and dissect your brain.
Take a slice of your brain. Yeah.
And they do that. So that's the only way you can find out if you have CTE. So here's the real thing that bothers me, and this is why they're objecting to it, and I really agree with them. Gosh bless them for literally looking at, you know, $5 million or whatever they're going to turn down, because they, for a couple reasons. This settlement only covers current dead players whose families are in the settlement now.
Right.
So the guy tomorrow who kills himself, guy 2 years from now who kills himself, is not covered in this and will not be covered in the future by these kinds of claims. And it's a total global settlement. So they're limiting their exposure to this handful. There's only 200, I think, players that have opted out right now that can come back in. A handful of those are in this situation of being dead with the CTE. So all these future players are not covered, and it does not cover what if future technology allows us to determine CTE before you're dead.
Right. Right.
And so you've got living players with all these horrible problems. They're not covered either. Okay? So that's a really fundamental thing. And I think the other thing philosophically that I really applaud them for is with this settlement, there is no disclosure of what the NFL knew, when they knew it, and what they covered up. Just
they turned their face to it. Yeah. And they didn't want to be liable for all that.
Yeah, and they don't want that out. And so they're saying, you know what? We want a litigation, win or lose. We want to bring this out because in discovery, we can ask those questions. What memos do you have? Who told who to what? And so gosh bless them for bringing that forward. But I think what the court's going to say is, you know what? You can opt out. You can go do your own lawsuit. And they're still going to push this thing through because there are a lot of players who have a limited time left. The settlement's going to take, it's going to be delayed at least 6 months by this appeal. These guys, some of the older guys that don't have that much time left, they want to start getting their money now. Probably, the maximum exposure, I think, is you can get $5 million for CTE, again, this handful, $3 million for dementia. It does not cover memory loss, does not cover irritability, does not cover sleep problems, doesn't cover all those things that I think clearly can be tied back to that and are not there. So talking a $1 billion settlement, I don't like it. It's the third time they've come back for a settlement. It's a 132-page ruling by this judge trying to kind of really blanket it for an appeal so it can't get reversed. But I don't like it.
Paul Krause said he opted out of it. He opted out because he said there's nothing in there for the old guys. Once you scratch below the surface, a lot of the guys should have opted out. There's just no help there for us.
Right. And part of it is there's 5 years is a big time frame, too. If you haven't been in at least 5 years, and the average guy we says, what, 3.4 years? So the average guy can't get into this thing anyway.
Can't even get in.
No.
He probably just blew himself up for 3 years, and out of the league he goes.
How cold and disgusting is the NFL? I mean, every single story we talk about is that the NFL is the villain in this whole deal.
It is. It's just money, money, money. And we're all
How much more money do they need? You said $12 billion they're going to make this year. $25 billion when?
In 2027.
It needs to escalate proportionately with the amount of money the NFL is actually making off the players. As the brand grows, with the players being the water carriers, as you mentioned, then it should also grow in terms of benefit.
Right. But the average player isn't going to do what we're doing now, looking behind this and really understanding how it doesn't cover CT, it doesn't cover all these other things,
right.
The cap on players having to be in 5 years. They're just going to hear $1 billion and go, whoa, that sounds good, you know, end of story. So the public pressure to change through sponsors, through people, you know, putting up signs at games, whatever those things would be that would cause the NFL to have to do something different is not going to happen. So we're all to blame for...
According to the Star Tribune, former Viking guard Brent Boyd said...
he's a doctor, too, I think.
Is he?
I believe so.
He said he disagrees. He's part of the settlement. He said, we don't have the money to fight the NFL. They have skyscrapers filled with attorneys and all the time in the world. It all comes back to the phrase I coined in Congress years ago, delay, deny, and hope we die. That's the NFL's unofficial strategy for dealing with guys who built this league.
That's true. I mean, it's so one-sided. From top to bottom, we have the worst labor agreement known in sports. There's no question. I mean, there just isn't a single thing guaranteed about anything in an NFL contract. I mean, it's your money up front. That's the guaranteed money. But in professional baseball, basketball, I don't know about hockey, but the other two sports are incredible. The residual royalties that you get even when you're out of the game. I mean, if you're in Major League Baseball, if you are activated for one game, one Major League game, it also qualifies you for a pension.
One game?
For a lifetime pension. And I think when I was playing football, I already for a lifetime it was $90,000 whether you played one game, and then it escalated after so many years or so many games. You made $90,000 if you played one major league game. Pension, that's a pension. I mean, ours is peanuts.
So what's the union dynamic there? You sit down in a conference room with your reps and you go, okay, here's where our bottom line is. Mm-hmm. When you go to the NFL, is it because I know I've only got 3 years to play and it's this huge money, I only have a short time, we can't go out on strike, we can't have that happen again, I'm going to lose my window of time to play, so get the best you can, but make sure we're on the field next year? What?
It's a fine line. It's so political. The NFLPA, and it's almost the kiss of death to become a player rep. Mm. I mean, if you're one of the guys on the inside against the NFL owners, yeah. and the NFL, period, you know too much, and you're thinking too much, and you're bringing up things that are making life difficult for us, then maybe you need to get out of football now. Yeah. There's a collusion sort of thing that goes on with NFL player reps. On each team, they don't make it as long as they'd like to make it.
Hmm.
But yeah, they're out too pretty quick.
So Adrian Peterson wasn't out of line really when he said the NFL is like modern day slavery, because that sounds an awful lot like slavery to me from what you were just saying.
I will say this. I mean, that's absurd. I don't ever remember slaves being paid quite that well.
Well,
but I will say that you know, they've got it their way. They have it their way. I mean, they can tear that contract up. But that's considered a breach of contract in many forms of business. I mean, you want the money that you signed your name to. Why are we not good for this then? I mean, you kicked me out, I'm done, but we signed the contract for this much money. As in baseball or basketball, you get the whole contract, right. No matter what.
Yeah.
Not football. Now you're looking for a job.
When you're electing your union rep, is it just literally majority, the guy who gets the most votes is the union rep?
The team votes for the guy. He puts his name in the hat, or two guys, or three guys. You can have a write-in. Okay. For a guy that you think would know the most and be able to help the cause the most when it comes to meetings, and they meet two or three times a season and a couple times in the off season, and they collectively with the NFLPA try and put together something with the attorneys that would go again to fight the NFL attorneys, we put enough money in a kitty to raise interest that we can go and fight these things and go on strike and battle it for a while, but only for a while.
So do you pass, I mean, when you did it, was this old school? Would you literally pass a hat with a slip? You put your name in and somebody counted up on a chalkboard?
Absolutely. Oh. Very much so.
I suppose
very much so. That's, you know, who's in for blah, blah, blah over here in the, you know, could have been the quarterback, could have been a big time receiver.
Do people run for it, or do you just like?
They put their name in, but hesitantly, because it's not really a good thing to have.
Of course, yeah,
it's not a good thing to have, but you'll do it for the team, and you will stand in for your brothers, and they want you because they don't know how to negotiate or talk or speak, play the game, and you have to be able to play the game. It is a big game.
Yeah. Well, interesting discussion today. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, brought to you by Ability Bail Bonds every Friday from 4:45 until this time. Same great firm, cool new website. Check it out. Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com. You're a good man.
Thanks, buddy.
Really good.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Are we gonna win? We have to say we're going to lose, right? Because it always hits the reverse.
Me?
Yeah.
If I say they're going to lose and he says they're going to win, they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I'm saying they're going to lose. He thinks they're going to win.
I do. I think they will.
Okay.
They play good on the road. They play well when they're isolated in that rarefied atmosphere.
I don't know why we don't say that every single day, because there are games where I honest to God think we're going to win. And so then I say we're going to win, and then we lose.
Okay.
So I'm always going to say we're going to lose.
So I'm still in therapy over the other night, and I took my black armband off before I came in. <Yeah. laughs>
I'll let the funeral presume.
I've been kicking my TV a lot.
That'll last not very long.
No, not very long. But I have to make sure that it lasts long enough for tonight when Bruce Transgender's special is on 2020.
Heartbeat
2-hour
still.
Special.
Heartbeat still.
I'm not even kidding.
Sawyer,
I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about things that, okay, am I going to DVR the Wild Games? Am I going to watch this thing live? Because, I mean, it's a big deal. The greatest athlete of all time is allegedly turning into a woman. changing into a woman, transitioning.
I always thought he was the sane one in the whole Kardashian clan. I thought this
poor guy.
He really is. He really was. He is.
I thought, yeah, that this poor guy is thrown by all these nut jobs, and now he's maybe as goofy as them.
I've had to, you know, I've had to watch the Kardashians dating girls or whatever. It's like their favorite show on E, and they're watching the who's yes to the dress and all this other crap that sucks. And I could relate to Bruce Jenner because I'm like, I have to watch this crap, and you're sitting there with Kim Kardashian and all these other people. These other crazy Los Angeles hoity-toity, I've got the prettiest dress on, and look at me, I'm taking selfies and this and that. Poor Bruce.
He's fighting with himself. With himself. And, yeah. And you know what? He broke the world record for points in a decathlon. He was the world's greatest athlete.
I love that guy.
He was on the Wheaties box, and I thought he was a hero. We all did.
He was a
76,
hero.
76, he was big time when I was in high school.
And now he's doing something incredibly brave. I mean, in front of cameras.
Yeah.
Whether you agree or disagree with the lifestyle, what he's doing is a lot of pressure.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be interesting.
So you're going to be toggling back and forth all night, it sounds like. Okay. Or to be, get two TVs up there, two big screens. And just kind
of, okay. No heirloom tomatoes.
Oh, crap.
Oh, golly. We got it.
Eric, quick.
Oh, my God.
Can it be quick?
I can't. Do we have to wait?
Can it be quick?
What? I don't want to. Oh, man. I even got music for this one.
Okay. Where is it?
It's in my phone. I was going to play me a clip of this band.
Oh, my God.
I was like, ready.
You got to hurry up.
Okay. Here's real quick. Okay. The game we're playing is tomato or rock band.
Right.
And so the choice, I'm going to give you two names, and you got to pick which one is the tomato.
Tomato.
Okay. I'm going to give you a couple hints on this. This is an all-girls band. Started in St. Paul in 1980, broke up a couple of times, but most of the band is still together out in L.A. as of we speak today. Had a couple fairly big hits, so I'm hoping you being a big guy here and being a local band, you're going to know this. So the two names are, ready?
Yep.
Vixen and Tigerella. And I actually have a little bit of music here. This is going to work.
The speaker's on the bottom.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, well, I know that song. I know what that song is.
Yeah. So you have, this is one of their songs. It was one of the biggest hits, actually.
Sounds like Janet Jackson's Black Cat.
So again, the question is Vixen or Tigerella the name of the tomato?
Tigerella is the name of the tomato.
Oh, my gosh. Vixen is the name of the band.
Wow.
We are so close to just nailing Ben hard.
Oh, yeah. Right in the mouth. Right in the mouth.
No, nuts. I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Right in the mouth.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
Marsh, love you. Have a great weekend.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Jim Rich, Fox 9. Next. See you. Bye.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Tough battle out there. Try to create chances, and you have to have a very workmanlike approach to how you're doing it. And they're always going to play with structure, but they're hard in their structure, they're tight in their structure. You know, to think that you're just going to get some freebies out there, it's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, if that's the way you have to look at things, that's how you have to build the next game plan, the next way of playing the Blues has to be different than the last one because we lost 6-1, that's for sure. So you better have a new game plan up on the chalkboard for everyone to look at. We're going to have to approach that a little bit differently, wouldn't you say, Chewy?
Yeah, I think you would. You would say the same thing. Yeah.
Jim Rich might know. I mean, they have to change something like intensity, like attitude perhaps, and come out of the chute smoking. Jim Rich.
Somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think they have to change their style of play. I mean, obviously from game four to, you know, four, like they've been saying all along, throw it away. But Mike Yeo couldn't devise in 48 hours a brand new forecheck, a brand new power play, brand new penalty kill. What they have done in the past has worked. So it looks like he has spent this time between games just going back and reinforcing what they have done to get to this point and hammer that point home and say, you know, actually he can use game four as a big stick and say, basically, look, this is what happens when you don't listen to us. This is what happens when you guys decide that the series is over, that you've decided we've won. You've got to get back, stick your nose in there, get the work done, and then there'll be results like you had earlier in the series. And I think that's what the coaching staff has done with the team. And these guys obviously know it. A lot of these guys have been through the battles. They were in the playoffs last year. They know what it takes. And, you know, the faster they get back to what they did to get here, the faster things will turn around.
Jim Rich, Fox 9. What do you say to the fans and the people that love the Minnesota Wild but are just so just heartbreaking and broken and emotionally just tired from that 6-1 debacle? Do you say, you know, just be like the Wild and kind of brush it off, because the way that they were kind of smiling was so bad, it got so bad there at the end of the game, or I mean even in through the second period, that just going to throw that away and start over, start fresh here again tonight, and there's actually a chance that they could win this game in St. Louis tonight instead of those people that are like, the series is over?
Absolutely. I think the fans took it a lot harder than the players did. I think they were able to keep it in perspective that, yes, we lost the game, but we haven't lost the series yet. And this team, like they've done so many other years, Colorado, you were up against it last year, had to go in there to win, to force it, to keep the series alive. They did it against Vancouver back in 03. Obviously, none of these guys were there, but you can kind of see a pattern. The Hawks series, they were able to extend that series. So I think these guys understand it, but the fans are so wrapped up emotionally in it that they, you know, after game three, felt the series was over. And they were planning the Stanley Cup parade route. Oh. Now, after today, after game four, they were ready to fire everybody, get new coaching staff, and start trading away Parisi and Suter.
I think it's perspective. You have to just stay the course. And you weren't going to sweep this series. You weren't going to just take St. Louis out next. You know, who's next? That's not how this was going to go. We all knew this.
But after game three, I was admitting to you that I started thinking just in the back of my head, okay, Chicago Blackhawks, how are we going to get this deal here? But I had to keep reminding myself, no. Game four.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the Wild did that because the 6-4 or 6-1 game four debacle was just
disastrous. Do that, but I'll tell you what, the St. Louis Blues had a sense of urgency, and they were like, you know, we just cannot afford to drop this one too and go back home where they're damn good on the road, and they have a knack for beating us. They played with a sense of urgency. I mean, they were just on fire. And it caught us. It caught us off guard. We just could not find or match the same intensity as the St. Louis Blues. And if they don't find that, tonight, I think we're good for it. I mean, I really do. I love the way we've rebounded, and I love Dubnyk's take on the whole thing. Hey, look, you know, it is where it is right now. It's 2-2. Here we go. We're on the road next.
Yeah, Jim Rich from Fox 9. Two games before we talk to you next. Obviously, the game tonight in St. Louis. They come back for Sunday's game here at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. Predict for us what you think is going to happen, because we trust your hockey brains. You're the smartest hockey guy we know. So what happens tonight? What happens Sunday? Well, we'll be talking about game 7 when we talk to you again on Monday when we get back here to work.
I think that's the way this is going to go. I think it'll go 7. I don't know who takes which one, but whether the Wild get their backs pushed up against the wall and have to win in game 6 at home, I think they can do that. Or they could steal tonight's game again. Because, like Mike was mentioning, I mean, this team tied an NHL record that's been around forever with 12 consecutive road victories. I mean, they actually do better away from home because you don't have the fans that wanting to see you blow them out. And even Mike Gill cautioned this before game 3. He goes, you know, don't expect us to come out here and hammer the Blues like we did the Avalanche. You remember game 3 in that series, they came home down 2-0, and the Wild had 20-some shots on goal in the first period and just destroyed Colorado. But Colorado and St. Louis are differently built. If you get Colorado running around, you know, they just live on their offense. They don't defend well. St. Louis can do both. They're a more complete team. So they can't sit there and get into a situation where they're going to run up 25 shots on goal at home and in the first period. And that's what Yo was cautioning against. And, you know, with that big crowd there, they want to see action. They want to see you kick some tail. And, you know, it gets to the players. When you're on the road, hell, everybody's booing you. It doesn't matter. It'll be like the end of the second period for them. They're used to it now.
Yeah, no kidding. The Wild play their best hockey with their backs against the wall. See, Jim's all fired up. He said the word hell, H-double hockey sticks.
Did I get beeped?
No, it's all right.
We're glad you said that in a segment like this. H-E-double hockey sticks. Get it.
Jim Rich, Fox 9. What's coming up this weekend? Sunday night, Fox 9 Sports Now, 10:35.
Well, depending on how they schedule this Wild game, we don't know a game time yet. It will be all hockey at 10:35. Whether we are in the middle of the game I hope not, for my rating sense. I hope that the game is ended by then, but we don't know the start time yet, so we'll just have to see. But it will be a wild-themed contest, and hopefully we'll be talking about them moving on to the next round and a rematch with the Hawks for a third straight year.
I hope you're right, man.
I do, too. I do, too, Jim. Thank you very much, and we will
be
in touch.
Don't forget, buddy, the toothless Matt Cook is in the lineup tonight. That's the only lineup change. So
that's true.
Let's hope he has some conversations with Mr. Tarasenko a few times to get things rolling for the Wild.
Yeah, it's going to be punchy, that's for sure.
I can't wait tonight.
It's just going to be super intense. Jim Rich, thank you for everything you do for us. We really appreciate it. We'll watch you for the rest of the evening on Fox 9 on the news. We'll catch you Sunday night, Fox 9 Sports Now, obviously at 10:35. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Go Wild. Have a great weekend.
All right. Let's get this done, boys.
Let's do it. Let's do it. And here's something we're going to do, too. We're going to sneak up on Mike Berardino.
Are we?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even know we're going to call. He's at a ball game probably right now.
God, he was angry yesterday.
Yeah. Funny. I mean, shocking. And we didn't see that coming, but you know what? That's so out of character for Mike Berardino. So we'll coax our way in there nice and soft, and we'll tiptoe around on
eggshells. Should I play like a lullaby song going into it to make sure everything's nice and smooth?
Keep it soft and smooth and kind of cuddly. Okay. Because really, that's what Mike is. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to call Mike Berardino. Hopefully he won't take our heads off or make fun of the way we ask questions that don't make sense to him, because they're not sophisticated enough for Mike.
Twins baseball. He's the expert.
Yeah. So we'll just let him talk, and we won't say anything. Is that what we should do?
Sure.
No, I'm going to make fun of him. Okay. Mike Berardino next.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Well, I'll be darned. I mean, if it isn't a hardball for all of you seam heads. And, of course, your Minnesota Twins taking on the Seattle Mariners. That game is, I think, at 9 o'clock.
Tough team. Tough team tonight.
Western.
9:10. 9:10 Central.
Oh, is it Central?
7:10 Western.
Western time.
Pacific time. It's not Western time, silly.
Well, I'm just going to go with Pacific Standard Time.
Whatever it is.
Mike Berardino, what time is it there?
I have no idea.
It's 3:32, I'm just going to tell you right now. So you got a little,
I'll take your word for it.
A little time before the game.
It's a lot.
Too much for me to process. I have no idea.
Look, you're with me then.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing. The Twins are going to turn over a new leaf in this upcoming series with the Seattle Mariners. Yes, I can tell you that right now.
Well, it starts tonight, obviously, and it is a marquee matchup, as you guys mentioned. But there is some reason for hope, because Felix Hernandez is very, very good and has been very good against the Twins over the years. But Phil Hughes loves pitching here, as many pitchers do. But he's 5-0 with an 0.61 ERA in his career in this building. He pitched out here last year and did very well. Hard luck loser so far, 0-3. Looking at when he gets back home, as we tweeted yesterday, he's on path to see Detroit's Shane Green, who's 3-0 with an 0.61 ERA of his own. So, a little mild upset tonight would be very helpful to Mr. Hughes.
I always find it funny when you say Detroit. It's actually pronounced Detroit. Tonight's first pitch by Zach LaVine of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Who says it?
But I like it. Go ahead. I'm not telling you not to stop. I'm not telling you to stop saying Detroit.
We'd like
to say it, but
we'd like for you to say Detroit. It's up to you, though.
No, Detroit.
It's three. I say it's three syllables.
Yeah, I know you three. Do. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sorry to bother you. I didn't know it was such an issue.
It's fine.
And they're in the division. I can't believe you kept quiet about this for so long. I've been happy to discuss it. I'll consult some authorities and see what they say.
Okay. Well, we're the authority.
Dan Aykroyd.
And we're saying that it's wrong.
Dan Aykroyd.
I kept my mouth shut for a really long time because I was afraid that you would
hold him back.
I was afraid of what you would say to me, because sometimes you get a little angry.
How do you say the place in Louisiana that has Mardi Gras?
Nolens.
No.
Yeah.
Let's see, there's about four or five ways to say that one, too, but it's okay. What else you got?
I've never heard anybody else say Detroit. But anyway, Zach LaVine, Minnesota Timberwolves. You ever heard of that team? He's throwing out the first pitch tonight. He's from Renton, Washington. Maybe that'll give a little bit of some good luck to our Twinkies.
He's here tonight?
He's throwing out the first pitch.
But see, that's the kind of thing I always skip because it really has nothing to do with me, and I'm usually eating my 3-minute dinner at that point, and then I get to my, like, who threw out the throw? I don't give a crap who threw out the first pitch, and I cover the game.
So explain to me something. I'm looking at your tweet here. It's you said you love the, is it Sociaface grading system?
Sociaface. That's some guy's blog out there in California, and he does a real nice job. Not only second guessing the manager with his blog, it goes back over the whole week, things that Socia did or didn't do that annoy Angels fans, and then he comes up with a grading system where he's got this array of photos of Mike Socia, who emotes tremendously on the bench, and I mean, just like an operatic emoter, and they hope I said that all right for Ben, and then he just assigns one of the photos of Socia, whether he's happy face or angry face or, you know, medium face. It's really well done. It's called, I think, Monkey with a Halo.
Yeah, Monkey with a Halo. That's what it says. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a great name there. I give them big ups, as they say, as the kids say.
Big ups.
Well, what, now, any thoughts on the way we're going to play this series at all? I mean, let's get back to that somehow. But, I mean, someone's going to pick up a baseball bat. I looked at Kansas City's batting order and their batting averages against ours in the last game we just played. It's just not a real pretty thing to look at.
Well, just because they're so good, but the Seattle Mariners are pretty stacked themselves.
Yeah, I guess. I think the Mariners typically pitch well and don't hit much, and I think it's been flipped a little bit this year. I just think the big story of the week was that the Twins made it through three games against the Royals and there were no fights. I mean, the Royals are the angriest team. They're hockey ready. I mean, they are insane, and they were lucky to miss Ventura, who just hits people left and right and wants to fight you over a comebacker, as it happened with Adam Eaton. So that, for the Twins to see two division opponents throwing each other around, you know, wrestling and kicking Ned Yost when he's at the bottom of the pile, whatever the heck happened there, and Samardzija went flying. He's very lucky he didn't get hurt. You know, that's one of those. You're just like, okay, go right ahead, boys.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
Twins, nothing happened to the Twins.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Pelfrey, like we talked, Pelfrey pitched inside and hit two people, including Alex Gordon, who he knows well. And Twins should just be very pleased and fortunate. They've had two series with the Royals. I think the Twins are the only team the Royals haven't fought with yet. They've had two series of the Twins. I think everybody else, the Royals have fought with them. And, you know, some Twins fans might say that I saw a tweet out there that, well, you know, that's when they'll know they're relevant again, when the Royals feel like fighting them. But it didn't happen.
That was a pretty good throwdown.
Well,
last night.
Yeah, no,
it was a pretty little throwdown. Five suspended.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Ned Yost and Robin Ventura. Yeah, Ventura, just unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
Mike Berardino, Hardball every day at 5:30 from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Can't wait to get through this weekend and then have Detroit and the Chicago White Sox and Oakland come back to town here at Target Field. Maybe you and I and the superstar can hang out for a little bit.
You want to? Because
I know we'd just have a gay old time together. Just like we do on the radio every single day.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. And yeah, Detroit's always a good team to watch.
Yeah, Detroit.
Why don't you join us and we can go gel somewhere and then bond somehow, some way.
It's got to happen eventually.
I suppose so. I would think it would. I'll buy hot dogs.
Have a great weekend, Mike Berardino. Go Twins. And we'll talk to you Monday, my man.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
All right, Mike. You. See, he's just fine.
No, I love that guy.
He's just fine as long as you pick on him a little bit.
I know.
He just loosens it right up. Mike Berardino, he's our guy.
God, is he crabby. My God, is he crabby.
Well, I mean,
have you ever met somebody so angry about nothing? Well, there's nothing to be angry about.
The only thing I can compare him to is like one of the football coaches I had years ago. Just surly all the time, 24/7.
But you're covering baseball.
I know.
America's game. It's slow. It's not like they're
he's
crazy.
Foul.
You're outside in the sunshine in the summer.
Yeah.
You're in Florida half the year.
Yeah.
Spring training. Nothing to be angry about. The man is the angry. His soul has to be just black and crusty.
He's mad. And he's very much like baseball. He's foul.
Yeah.
Mike's break next. Look out, everybody. You never know what's coming. But I think we're going to break down the biggest draft bust from each and every team in the National Football League. I've got them all. See if you agree when we return.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
What?
How about those Vikings, huh?
We'll see.
Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
No. Wait, whoa. I was just having fun with Stewie.
No, stop it.
All right, I'm done.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Sorry. Jeez, right in the foot. Oh, well. Someone get me a Band-Aid for both feet. I'll be all right.
Biggest draft bust of all time, huh?
Biggest draft bust for each team.
Okay.
And we'll start off right away. I mean, that's just the way this has to... By the way, nice lead-in with a little AC/DC. We'll start off from A to Z.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals.
Matt Leinart.
You would think so, wouldn't you? I disagree with a lot of you. Remember Andre Duckworth? Wadsworth. Andre Wadsworth. He was a great player.
Hmm.
He was a very good college player. But the fantastic thing about that was... And that was in 1998. But after him came Fred Taylor, Takiyo Spikes...
It's draft bus?
Yeah.
No, those guys aren't bus. Those are the guys
that they passed on.
Gotcha,
yeah, they passed on those guys.
Gotcha.
Actually, Charles Woodson went one pick later.
Yeah.
And he didn't end up doing too good, old Andre. You know, we're talking about maybe 8 sacks over his career.
Well,
that's not the way it works. At the Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons, I would have to say, I don't know.
I mean, Jamal Anderson.
He was a draft bust? No.
Jamal Anderson. I don't think it's the same one, though. Falcons then general manager Rich McKay made an awful selection of Anderson. This is in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember this one, too.
He was 8th overall.
Yeah, 8th overall.
Yeah, he was a douche.
So he was a douchebag, and he just didn't pan out
defensive
at all.
End.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Kyle Bowler.
Yes, indeed. 19th pick overall in 2003.
So much for Bill Belichick, Brian Billick being the quarterback whisperer. Like you said, he would, I'll take anybody. I could win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. He did. Had Tony Banks, Elvis Gerbach, all these people. Oh, I'm going to draft Kyle Bowler because I'm going to turn this guy. It was second round, I want to say, wasn't he?
Dude, 19th pick.
19th overall.
Yeah,
wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and here's the guy that brings Trent Dilfer in, wins the Super Bowl, waves him or cuts him, one of the two, and brings in Elvis Gerbach from the Chiefs.
Wow.
Oh, I can do the same thing with him. He's a little bit younger, so we can make that work too. No, not
who's
at
next?
All. The Buffalo Bills.
Ooh,
remember this one?
Good idea.
This is a big man, too. I remember him coming out of college. The Buffalo Bills took Mike Williams, 4th overall.
Yes.
He was a monster. But it never worked out for him. And then, of course, some of the people that fell right after him, Bryant McKinney, turned out to be a decent player.
Sure.
There was a guy by the name of Dwight Freeney.
Oh, he was
also
pretty good.
That guy also.
Who's
right
next?
After him. Carolina Panthers.
Mm.
Ray Carruth, number 27.
He murdered somebody.
He did. I think
they
he did.
They found him they found whoever he murdered in like a trunk of a car or something like that.
Found guilty of conspiring to kill his pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, dang.
I mean, currently serving out a 18 to 24 year sentence in prison still. You're right.
He was pretty decent. I mean, I would say he's a draft bust because obviously he's in prison. He killed somebody. That's not
right.
Good. Who's next?
Chicago Bears.
Ooh, Cade McNown, Curtis Enos.
Enos is actually the one that they're going with. Fifth overall pick.
Oh, yeah.
Enos, again. Good football player coming out of school, but he got injured.
Sure,
and that's what did him in.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a running back, but I mean, you can't help it. That's fate. Cincinnati Bengals should be pretty easy.
Peter Warwick. They had a bunch of them. Smith.
That's the one.
Achilles Smith.
That sticks out like a sore thumb. Third overall pick in 1999. That was the year that took Culpepper, right?
Yeah.
And there were several other quarterbacks that came out that year that. Yeah, they lost out on that one. Jeff, what was this? King went to the Tampa Bay.
Sean King.
Sean King.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns. This any quarterback they've ever drafted. Johnny Manziel.
Well, okay, that holds true in this case.
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn. 22nd pick overall. What was Manziel? 25-6?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, same thing.
Dallas Cowboys?
I'll never forget him sitting there on draft day. I will never forget that. The Dallas Cowboys, you won't get it. Kevin Brooks, 17th pick overall in 1985. Don't know that much about him, but Jerry Rice came after him. Oh. I can say that they missed on Jerry Rice. The Denver Broncos, I do remember this.
No idea.
It's crazy. The Tommy Maddox, remember that?
Oh, they drafted him?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that's right, they did draft him, and then he was supposed to be the heir apparent to John Elway.
John Elway.
And then he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, though, and didn't he take him to the Super Bowl?
No.
But he had a heck of a year.
I know
you're
bad, but he actually played pretty well at times. He really did.
Had a heck of a year.
He wasn't a bad player.
Who's next?
But this has to be one of the most questionable first-round picks in NFL draft history. Next up, Detroit Lions.
Easy. Ooh, Mike Williams.
No. Oh, the receiver.
Yeah.
No.
Charlie Rogers? No. Charles Rogers?
No, but that's another one. From Charles Rogers from Michigan
Charles
State.
Rogers,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, bust.
Who?
But he broke both of his collarbones, too, by the way.
Sure.
Joey Harrington.
Oh, okay.
Joey Harrington. Third pick overall.
Yeah.
Not good. There were a lot of players after that. Oh, my God. Some of the players that came after that. Pretty incredible. Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers.
Tony Mandarich.
Yep. Yeah, Tony Mandarich. Billed as being one of the greatest offensive linemen to come out of college ever. They had him as being the next Anthony Munoz. Not quite. And who followed him? Because he went second overall, only to Troy Aikman that year.
Okay.
Do you know who was still left on the board?
No.
Barry Sanders.
Oh,
How about Derek Thomas?
Oh, no.
You want to know who else?
No.
Deion Sanders.
Oh, God.
Okay, we'll take Tony Mandarich.
Houston Texans next?
Yep.
Derek Carr. David Carr, whichever the Carr
brother
is.
He was a good player. They just got him killed. I mean, he was actually a pretty good player. No, Travis Johnson, 2005. 16th pick overall. He's still in the league, I think. The Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
Don't know.
First overall pick in 1990. That helped.
First overall pick in 1990.
Yeah.
No.
Jeff George.
He had a decent career.
Tell you what, he was a bust for a first overall pick.
Well, yeah.
And he was something else. I'm going to tell you something. If they had signed him to 5 more years like he wanted here,
yeah.
I think the Vikings would have made a pretty good move by doing that. I believe that. How about Jacksonville? What do they do?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
A ton of really bad ones.
No idea.
Well, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, God.
You want me to tell you what really makes that bad? You want to know why that's really bad? You want to know who went next?
Blaine Gabbert.
Well, who came next? One pick later. J.J. Watt.
Oh,
well.
Can we resume
the player
this
like that?
At 6:34?
We can do it again. We'll break it down. We're about halfway through.
There.
Yeah, you'll know some of these other guys, too.
Okay.
We haven't gotten to the Vikings yet, but it's a pretty good little list.
We'll do that at resume at 6:34.
Let's just do that.
Coming up next, the Cold Omaha guys.
Oh, my.
Tom Schreier talking about Wild's toughness put to the test after that momentum shift. Wednesday night's game, 6-1 loss.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight, though, when we get some of that sweet payback. We're going to get it. It's going to be 2-1 Wild. Come on back. Tom Schreier with Cold Omaha next.